trusted voice of truth and light.
God gave me a gift. I shovel well. I shovel very well.
And a rally point for those who've accepted the reality that they are not sheep.
We've got a blind date with destiny.
And it looks like she's ordered the lobster.
This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Well, hello there and welcome to the show. I figured I'd hit the jump on, any requirements, to warn you about misinformation. So let me tell you that, yes, you are going to encounter misinformation in this program. However, in my defense, I'm going to also point out, it's the kind of misinformation that will brainwash you into thinking for yourself. So, in the end, it kind of works out. All right, tongue-in-cheek aside, I'm glad you're part of our audience today. Welcome to the Brian Hyde Show, where we revel in wrongthink, not because I have all the answers, but because, everything is worth questioning at this point. Anything that comes to you from official sources, anything that comes to you through mainstream media or through government spokesmen, which is another way of saying state media, deserves to be questioned. I'm here to ask those questions and hopefully get you thinking as independently and clearly as you can, which means whether you agree with me or not, you're taking ownership of your worldview. I've got some great sponsors who help to make this possible on a daily basis. They include the Heather Turner team at Patriot Home Mortgage, lifesavingfood.com, ModicelloCollege.org, sewingandquiltingcenter.com, HSLAmmo.com, and DixieChiropractic.com. Now, if you're a new listener, I feel like I really do need to give you a legitimate warning that there are topics that I cover that will make some people extremely uncomfortable. And that's just because we live in a time where there are some really uncomfortable things happening. Okay, you don't have to be a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist any longer to look around you and get a real strong sense that this is not going in a good direction. Now, if there's a bright spot, about that, or if there's a silver lining to that cloud, it's this. This is not the first time that we or other civilizations have been through the civilizational generational test that is sometimes referred to as a fourth turning. There is a coalescing perfect storm of crises and trends and attitudes that happen about every 80 to 100 years. It's the Romans called it a seculum, but it roughly approximates the seasons of the year. And not to rain on your parade here, but we are in the dead of winter right now with a massive storm swirling around us, building to a climax. Now, other examples of this would include the World War II and Depression era, the Civil War, Reconstruction era, the Revolutionary War, and the Founding era. Are you catching kind of a common pattern here? Yeah. Financial upheaval, civic decay, or at least civic upheaval. War was often a big part of those changes. And the key thing to remember is that on the end of each of these crises, or after each of these crises had come and gone, as the seasons changed and springtime, so to speak, slowly arrived, the landscape always looked very different. That's the process that we're going through right now. And you can't wish it away. You can't avoid it. There's no place to safely sit it out. It affects every one of us, which means we have some decisions to make. And above all, I'm not trying to make you feel afraid or feel like you're helpless or this is, the end of the world. I'm not trying to convince you the apocalypse is upon us. But I will say that the stakes seem very, very high. And in fact, if I can just, I'm going to put a couple of cards on the table here that I feel like I got to get this off my chest and then I'm going to move on. I've got some great information to share with you, but I want you to understand why I talk about the things that I do and why I approach them the way that I do. I think that we are headed for some times that are going to try every single one of us. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how financially well off or well positioned you are, how prepared you are. We're all about to learn something about ourselves and about just what we're really made of. That's a daunting thought, right? Doesn't that make you get a little shiver up your spine as you think about, I don't know if I want to find out what I'm made of. I kind of want to sit back and take it easy. I want to find something entertaining to watch on Netflix or Hulu and just pass the time stuffing food into my mouth and enjoying the company of friends and buying cheap gas. But it's not happening, is it? So as you see the cost of fuel going higher and higher, and again, not to scare you, but just by way of warning, there's some pretty serious talk about $6 a gallon gas before the end of summer. Possibly $10 a gallon gas by the end of the year. Now, you don't have to be an economist to understand. The cost of fuel, which is energy that runs the economy, is going to ripple throughout our whole society. Everything becomes more expensive. Everything becomes more difficult to obtain. And that, you know, on top of the higher prices of fuel, now we're seeing supply chain breakdowns that have been happening over the last couple of years, not because of the COVID virus, but because of the official response to the COVID virus. Shutting down businesses, telling people you're essential, you're not, stay home, don't do this, don't do that. Here, have some free money. We'll print more. No, come on, take more, really. We'll just print as much as we need. You're seeing the purchasing power of your dollar shrink. A big one that was happening earlier this week. How about an 1,160-point drop in the Dow Jones average? I've got a good friend, not going to name him, but just so he's one of my most trusted friends. He's also one of the most savvy people I know in terms of economics and finance. And I just texted him to check on him the other day and just ask, hey, how are you doing? And he just was like, I'm just sick. I'm watching my retirement accounts just evaporate as the stock market is going through these convulsions here. Okay, he's not alone. People are seeing this. They're wondering, am I even going to have anything? And I wish I could give you some good news. Hey, it's all going to be okay, man. Just, you know, hang in there and, you know, go long. Trust the market. It's going to correct itself. I mean, most of us grew up with the idea that eventually things would straighten out. I think we have very good reason to believe it probably isn't going to do it this time. And it's not because we're dumb and it's not because we're not politically, you know, aligned the way that we should be. This is part of a cycle that takes place, and it's something that's going to have to be ridden out. But as part of it, I believe every one of us is going to have to become comfortable with turning loose of some of the security that we have held on to. And that's going to be a huge adjustment for a lot of people. I understand. It's scary. I see it coming, and I think I see it fairly clearly. I don't have all the answers, but I've been paying very close attention for at least the last 25 years. And I see what's coming, and I think, wow, we're all going to get used to getting by with less or being less attached to our money or our possessions or whatever. I'm also, I'll admit, I feel a sense of, I don't know, that icy lead ball in my stomach when I look at some of the possibilities of the food supply being seriously interrupted. And it's not just a matter of, you know, well, yeah, we're having trouble finding certain things in the grocery store. There's all these ships sitting off the coast that are still waiting to be unloaded months and months later. It's a matter of there's a lot happening naturally that seems to be working against us. Case in point, we sat and planted our garden just a few days ago. And yesterday was one of the biggest windstorms of the year, followed by an overnight freeze. I haven't checked on my tomato plants and my pepper plants and all the other little sweet plants that we planted, but I have a hunch that they're probably not doing so great. So I've laid out some of the bad news, right? Okay, you're probably getting a sense that it really is looking serious. And, you know, as far as official help, you know, that big dip in the stock market, isn't it interesting that the White House, when questioned about it, well, what is the White House doing about this? The answer from the president's press secretary was, well, you know, we really don't keep an eye on that kind of thing. Okay, and that's fine in the sense that I don't really want the White House or any other political body manipulating the financial markets or otherwise exerting control. But my point is, every one of us has to get it through our heads at some point. Government is not coming to your rescue. In fact, no one is really coming to your rescue. You're going to have to figure a lot of this stuff out for yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lone Wolf McQuade your way through life and, you know, it's just going to be, you know, back to a caveman type existence. Hunter-gatherers, you know, running around clubbing, you know, people over the heads. But it does mean that we're going to have to be much more resourceful and we're going to have to learn to work together with people whom we trust. I don't know if you can think of, you know, people that are within your circle of influence that you would trust. I mean, trust implicitly. Like if they showed up on your doorstep at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, I need a place to stay or I need someone to watch my kids because I need to go somewhere, and you would do it without hesitation. But that's the kind of trust that that I think we're going to have to develop just based on what has happened during other fourth turnings in our history. So if you're feeling up to the challenge, I mean, if you are willing to examine seeing what's happening around us clearly so that you might better understand what your options are and dig deep to know who you are and what you stand for. And if you can take it one step further and contemplate the possibility that maybe, just maybe, there is something God has for you to accomplish and you alone to accomplish, maybe you should start making that difference that you were born to make.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
Welcome back to the show. Quick shout out here to Dixie Chiropractic. That would be Dr. Ward Wagner. You can go to dixiechiro.com. And this is great news for my listeners in the Southern Utah area. If you or someone you know is dealing with pain, whether it's neuropathy or bulging herniated discs or even car accident injuries, please go to dixiechiro.com. Check out some of the specials that they have to introduce you to the care that they can provide for you. So, for instance, you have a bulging herniated disc. First of all, that really sucks. I've been dealing with that for about the last 6 years, and it is, you know, I used to think people with back pain, oh, they're probably just exaggerating or they're milking it or something. No. Nope, that's, I apologize. Please forgive me, anybody who I ever doubted. It's really horrifically debilitating. But if you want to see something that can give you some relief, look into the $99 intro special. That's two treatments plus massage at dixiechiro.com. Likewise, with neuropathy, here's the $99 Calmer treatment plus massage. dixiechiro.com, that's where you need to go. When you're making your appointment, please tell them, I heard about this on Brian's show. Well, as I'm looking back over the last couple of years, out of all of the insanity that took hold during the official COVID response, the arrest and prosecution of Idaho mom Sarah Brady is one of the most egregious examples. Now, I've had her on my show a couple of times, and I think she is a remarkable, courageous person. She's also very misunderstood, which is not uncommon in times like this. There, you know, the press, of course, thinks, well, she's a troublemaker and should have just done what she was told. And there's others who just can't wait to pile on because I presume they're miserable and they want other people to be as miserable as they are. But I've got a great article here from Michelle Malkin, the prosecution of Idaho mom Sarah Brady. So if you're not familiar with her story, this will bring you up to speed. Sarah was arrested back in April of 2020 for bringing her children to a playground to meet with other families during the pandemic. Michelle Malkin says, Kleiner Park is an all-American, family-friendly gathering place west of Boise with 60 acres of greenery, trails, ponds, outdoor performance facilities, picnic shelters, and children's swings and slides. She says, 2 weeks ago, I enjoyed a visit there with several hundred freedom activists gathered to support Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan's gubernatorial bid. The sun shone brightly, toddlers romped on the lawn, a sea of unmasked faces roared the Pledge of Allegiance in joyful unison. But Michelle Malkin says all is not and never will be back to normal in America. Never forget that citizens across this country still face tyrannical persecution and prosecution for defying COVID-19 tyranny just 2 short years ago. Apparently at this Kleiner Park, this is where Michelle Malkin met and embraced mom of four, Sarah Brady, whom she says I recognized instantly from the worldwide viral video of her arrest in April of 2020. So she asks Sarah, whatever happened to your case? And this un-American nightmare, it turns out, has yet to end. So for those who don't know, here's the story. On April 21st of 2020, Sarah and other families had been enjoying fresh air and sunshine, you know, God's natural immunity and mental health boosters, amid a statewide shutdown of schools. Now, she and other moms opposed a city order that playground equipment in a public park be wrapped in what amounted to crime scene tape. That apocalyptic scene had been replicated all over the nation, including in Michelle Malkin's own neighborhood park. Sarah simply questioned aloud the junk science rationale for punishing healthy children while cops and park officials violated their own social distancing rules and mask protocols. For her crimes of constitutionally protected peaceable assembly, petition for a redress of grievances, and lawful dissent, Sarah was shackled, placed in a patrol car, booked into Ada County Jail, and charged with misdemeanor trespassing by a grandstanding Republican state attorney general. Now, Sarah told Michelle Malkin, "I'm a mother of four children, married to a Boise police officer." She said, "Our lives are so busy and chaotic, simply trying to manage a household of six, let alone trying to defend myself against the state of Idaho for literally taking my kids to a playdate. It's very daunting." She says, "I didn't go back to normal after that day." Indeed, Michelle Malkin says more than 2 years later, after dozens of online status hearings, two suspended trial dates, four different attorneys, and nearly $30,000 in legal fees, Sarah now awaits a May 31st hearing on her motion to dismiss the single criminal misdemeanor charge on constitutional grounds. Sarah's attorney, Jeremy Lister, argued in his filing this week that the trespass law is unconstitutionally vague. The arresting officer exercised unbridled authority to arbitrarily persecute dissenters, while others who breached the playground equipment went free. And Sarah's expressive conduct in the playground area of a public park was content-based and viewpoint-based speech in a traditional public forum that's protected by the First Amendment. Well, since that revolutionary maternal act in 2020 on behalf of her children and other families, Sarah has been an ongoing target of both prosecution and persecution. She says, "I've had people track me down, take videos, and post them in a hate group." By the way, that group still exists, but Facebook won't take it down. She says, "I was reported to CPS multiple times. I've had letters and mail come that I'm scared to open. Many days I've wondered if I could keep going. It's affected my mental state. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not dealing with it to some degree." But get this. Sarah has no regrets about that fateful day in Kleiner Park. In fact, she told me, "I'm hoping that I can blaze a trail and others here in Idaho can use the legal briefs I've paid for to stop the state from doing the same thing to them." By the way, if this is you know, stirring you in any way to think, what can I do to help her? There is a link to a crowdfund campaign that you can donate to. Michelle Malkin says Sarah and her family have paid another high price, and that is doxing by left-wing vigilantes, threats and harassment, smears by character assassins in the media who are allergic to sovereignty-defending mothers. BuzzFeed, for example, attacked Sarah for challenging her son's school over unlawful vaccine exemption documentation. By the way, the school did back down eventually. Now, the silver lining of this entire ordeal, according to Sarah, is that her viral moment helped wake up countless parents who'd been sleeping, and it galvanized her own activism. She said, "It's really appalling how the government came in to save everyone and then made such a huge mess, and now everyone's acting like it never happened, except for those of us that are being so harshly punished for daring to push back. I've learned how corrupt our government is and how fragile our freedoms are." Sarah says, "I feel like I've been awake to things going on for several years now. But these last 2 years have really shown me the evil we have in our country." Michelle Malkin says Sarah's courageous battle is a light in the darkness. In fact, Sarah told her, "Being an example to your children to stand up against tyranny is one of the most important messages you can give." I think she's right. She also said, "Freedom is the most important gift given to us. I would rather be handcuffed and taken away from you than to bow down to the state." This is what her message is for her kids. Now, you don't have to agree. I'm not insisting that you agree. I happen to think she's right, and having spoken with her myself, I think she's coming at this from the right place. And when she talks about freedom being the most important gift given to us, it's not a gift given to us by politicians. It's not given to us by the government. It's a gift given by God. But it's the kind of gift that you cannot exercise unless you are willing to claim it, use it, and defend it. And as Sarah's example shows, there are times and places in which those who are trying to gain some sort of dominion over you are going to punish you for doing so. And in Sarah's case, the process of holding her accountable for not leaving the park immediately because this officer ordered her to, the punishment is in the process itself. I mean, they're trying to bleed her dry legally and financially by dragging this thing out. Seriously, can anybody with a straight face try to make the case that, well, you know, this is serving the interest of justice? And the world will be a safer, more just place once that Idaho has exacted, you know, punishment for her for the crime of, what was it again? Oh, yeah. Standing up for her right to be at a park with her children. I mean, we now have the hindsight of knowing, you know, none of the mask mandates, none of the 6 feet of separation, all that stuff really did nothing to stop the spread of the virus. Sunshine and good health and strong immune systems, that did a lot. I think the biggest takeaway, though, is if you think, well, you know, she's a troublemaker and I'm not, you need to think again. Sarah is someone very much like you and me. She just happened to be courageous enough to stand up when most people wouldn't. And if you're not willing to stand up, trust me when I tell you, your turn is coming.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
And just like that, we are back. A big thank you to HSLAmmo.com for being one of my sponsors. I'd invite you to please go to my show notes. You'll find them at thebrianhydeshow.com. There at the bottom of the show notes, you'll find a special collection of sponsor links that will take you directly to my sponsors. There are also specific links on my webpage, on my website itself. But if you are in the market for some ammo, HSL Ammo is the place I would send you. Please, go do business with them. With my regards. So, you want to hear a scary story? I know you haven't heard many over the last couple of years, but just turn on the MSM, and right now you'll find a lot of frightful tales about monkeypox. Yeah, the next big one. The next big scare for the USA and for Europe. If you want to get some great perspective on this, I highly recommend Jordan Schachtel's Dossier Substack. He's got a great article here about the USA and Europe buying up millions of doses of monkeypox vaccine. And he asks, what's the deal with monkeypox? Jordan Schachtel says, suddenly everyone is talking about monkeypox, the smallpox-like disease that's surfaced in recent days in both Europe and the United States. Health authorities in the two continents, have thus far identified only a few dozen cases. So while there's no real concern for the moment or no reason for concern at the moment, he says, here's what convinced me to put this on your radar. Late last night, this would have been like 3 nights ago, the U.S. government decided to order millions of doses of monkeypox vaccine. Now, according to a press release from European pharma company Bavarian Nordic, the United States purchased a $119 million option on the doses. These vaccines were purchased through the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA, and the U.S. government has an additional $180 million in options if it so chooses to exercise them. Additionally, on Thursday, Bavarian Nordic announced that they were going to supply an undisclosed European country with monkeypox vaccinations. Now, the U.S. likely has first dibs on the product because the vaccine was developed with American support. Anthony Fauci's NIAID has supported Bavarian Nordic with well over $100 million in grants. And whether Fauci and his colleagues will receive kickbacks and royalties for this vaccine, that remains unknown. Bavarian Nordic received FDA approval for its vaccine back in September of 2019, just 2 months before the commencement of COVID mania. Now, the FDA statement included the possibility that this vaccine was necessary for the market in case of a biowarfare event concerning the intentional release of smallpox. Bavarian Nordic's president and CEO released a statement on Thursday saying, while the full circumstances around the current monkeypox cases in Europe remain to be elucidated, the speed of which these have evolved, combined with the potential for infections beyond the initial case going undetected, calls for a rapid and coordinated approach by the health authorities, and we are pleased to assist in this emergency situation. Infection control has been a high priority for societies during COVID-19, and this situation is an unfortunate reminder that we cannot let our guard down, but must continue to build and strengthen our infectious disease preparedness to keep the world open. I don't think he was being ironic, but still, that's a weird choice of words. Now, according to the CDC, monkeypox was first discovered in 1958 when two outbreaks of a pox-like disease occurred in colonies of monkeys kept for research, hence the name monkeypox. The first human case of monkeypox was recorded in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of Congo during a period of intensified effort to eliminate smallpox. Since then, monkeypox has been reported in humans in other Central and Western African countries. Now, monkeypox is currently understood as a rare infection primarily spread by wild animals in West Africa, and the symptoms are said to be similar to that of chickenpox. Case fatality rate estimates for human-obtained monkeypox in Africa range from 1% to 15%. Now, early reports from Europe seem to indicate that monkeypox is only spreading within the gay community, as cases are being reported exclusively in gay men. The transmission dynamics remain unclear, but that hasn't stopped the usual panic promoters from making hysterical claims. Here's one from Dr. Eric Feigl-Ding. Nice tweet here. Crap, monkeypox is likely aerosol airborne. Study indicates monkeypox is aerosol stable for up to 90 hours and remains infective during that time. I pray we've learned our lesson with COVID is airborne and don't repeat the droplet versus airborne two-year nonsense. Interesting stuff. So, I don't know. Is this a psyop? Is this planting seeds to get us all in a bit of a tizzy? Hard to say, but it is kind of ironic, isn't it, that you've got these leaders from the world's nations meeting about health concerns in Davos, Switzerland again, and looking at a World Health Organization treaty that would essentially be a one-size-fits-all approach for the next pandemic. Like, they're already planning on it. It's going to happen, so next time it does, and I'm guessing it will be sooner than later, we'll have a one-size-fits-all thing. Well, we all signed onto the treaty. We all agreed we'd lock it down just like Australia or just like Shanghai. I have to ask, is that something you're okay with? I'm guessing most people within the sound of my voice would at least have some hesitation about, yeah, maybe we ought to take a closer look at this based on all of the misinformation, and I mean official misinformation, which seemed to flow from the CDC and from political sources that we saw throughout the COVID pandemic. All I know is I'm seeing these news stories start to pop up, and it's very, very clear that the seeds of fear are being planted and they're being carefully nurtured and hoping, you know, people who are planting them are hoping that they take root and get us, you know, panicky again to where we're, okay, take more of my freedoms. Anything, take it all. Just make me feel safe. Keep that healthy sense of skepticism. Yeah, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek when I say that. Healthy skepticism? But just understand, so much of what was told to us and stated as fact, even though we didn't know it was fact, and justified as, well, we had no other choice, realize that the people who made these decisions are desperate to escape accountability. The harm that they have done is real, and I'm not just talking economic harm. I'm talking the psychological and emotional harm that they have done to people. What's happened with the addiction rates, the suicide rates? What's happened to the quality of life for people? I've said this before, and as cynical as it may sound, I believe that the folks who planted those seeds of fear in the first place, the ones who milked our uncertainty over the COVID pandemic to get greater power over us or to acquire greater control over the populace, and the harm that they did, I think that they are evil enough that, yes, they would be willing to start World War III, including the risk of nuclear war, in order to cover their sins. They believe that they can get away with this if they can convince us that, no, we never really did any of those things. And I'm sorry, but Dr. Fauci is one of the key figures in this. There are very few people that I would use the term wretched to describe. He's one of them. Wretched because he is unaccountable, he is unrepentant, and apparently still lusts for that power and that adoration that so many were willing to give him. So, what does this mean for you and me? I mean, after all, how many of us have advanced degrees in epidemiology? Not me, for certain. But you know what I do have an advanced degree in? Knowing what's best for me and not outsourcing those decisions to some bureaucrat at any level. I know that freedom and my natural rights are the greatest gift that God has given me. And by understanding what those rights are, I'm determined to continue to claim them, use them, and defend them as any free man would. This means that I reserve the right to doubt what I'm being told through official mainstream sources. I reserve the right to doubt and even to openly scoff in the face of experts who cling to politicized, settled science. I reserve the right to get a second opinion, because there are plenty of people out there who will offer that. And I'm encouraging you to make a similar stand. You don't have to do it as publicly as I'm doing it here, but you need to understand that you have those rights too, if you're willing to stand up and claim them. You know, the concerns about misinformation, as much as we poke fun at, you know, the Ministry of Truth, which was started and then stopped because people started ridiculing it on a large scale and pushing back against it, that's a good thing. I don't think it's gone for good, but it's definitely, I think that the people in power who are trying to foist that Ministry of Truth on us are a little bit surprised. Wow, they're really not taking to this. That's why they had to pull back and withdraw, and, you know, the woman appointed to head it up, Ms. Jankowicz has decided to resign her position. But that misinformation that you're going to encounter is not likely to come from know-nothings like me. It's going to be official misinformation. It's going to be disinformation. It's going to be from state government or state media sources that are trying to tell you this is what you're allowed to think. This is what you're allowed to believe. Question all of it. Whether it comes from me, whether it comes from Dr. Fauci, whether it comes from your favorite MSNBC, CBS, NBC, whatever, talking heads, get in the habit of questioning it and understand what's best for you. That's your decision to make. Now do your best to make it wisely.
This is the Brian Hyde Show. This is the Brian Hyde Show.
And just like that, we are back. Hey, lifesavingfood.com has been one of my long-term sponsors here on the program. I hope that you would consider doing business with them. I did get a question from a listener yesterday asking, hey, when I click on lifesavingfood.com, it takes me to, I think it's Patriot Food Supply. They are one and the same, or at least lifesavingfood.com is a distributor for Patriot Food Supply. Just don't be thrown. You click on the link that I supply, it will take you to the right website. So, you don't know, but there's no hanky-panky going on here. But if you have given any thought to being prepared, this is really the time to act on it. Okay, I know we all want to kind of hold off. Well, things are going to get back to normal here. I don't think that's the case. I think what we regarded as normal just a couple, 3 years ago is something that's not going to be seen again, probably within our lifetimes. That doesn't mean life is going to suck. It just means we've got to adapt and we've got to be ready. And I think there's some pretty rough water ahead of us in the near future, and you can start to see the white caps from where we are right now. Be prepared. Whether it's small steps or whether it's big steps, take those steps. Be prepared. And with God's help and with the cooperation of the people we trust and love the most, we will get through this, no matter how difficult. So here's a question for you. If the American Empire falls, and I'm looking at the big geopolitical picture here, will the American Republic rise? In other words, can our republic be restored if the empire is to fall? This is a question worth asking, because right now the war drums are beating pretty loud. And as we're going to talk about in the next hour of the show, there's a lot of concern that what's happening right now in Ukraine is nothing more than a proxy war between the United States and Russia. And I know that for a lot of people, that's like, well, then the lines are drawn. I'm against Russia and I'm for the United States. And I wish I could say, yeah, it's that clear cut, because, you know, we, the United States, are the good guys and we stand on the side of freedom and justice and the American way. I think the ideals on which this nation was founded likely would reflect freedom and justice and personal liberty. I do not believe for a moment, though, that the cabal that's in power right now in Washington, D.C. in any way represents those things. And in fact, I think that they are instigating conflict, like serious conflict, worldwide conflict. So for that reason, I, for one, would be very happy to see the American empire come crashing down. I don't know if you've noticed this, but every time our troops are sent abroad, you know, to strike a blow for freedom, we are less free here at home. It certainly has been this way for the last 20 years, but going back even further, we can see that the national security state has nothing to do with our individual security and securing our individual freedoms and liberty. It's about securing and protecting the power of shadowy people, some in openly elected positions or appointed positions, many just kind of hiding back in the shadows and, you know, pulling levers from out of sight. For instance, whoever runs President Biden's teleprompter, that's who's really running the presidency right now. That should be obvious. Here's an article from J. Robert Smith about if the American empire falls, will the republic rise? He says, Victor Davis Hanson, eminent classicist, provides this warning to Americans in the lead of his most recent article at Epoch Times, updated on May 16th. I actually shared this the other day on the show. Americans are now entering uncharted revolutionary territory. They may witness things over the next 5 months that once would have seemed unimaginable. Now, J. Robert Smith says it may prove in this momentous decade that the American empire falls, but he says take heart, because the fall of the empire, aren't all empires finally a bundle of conceits destined to collapse, may lead to the revival of the American republic. He says, so we're the visions of empire and republic are as starkly different as George Washington and the founders were from Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. Much of what constitutes the American empire is a product of progressive doctrine. It was about domestic imperialism, perhaps far more than American global dominance. And restoring the republic should be welcomed by citizens dedicated to our nation's founding principles. But the bottom line is, we're reaching a culmination. The left's decades-long march through America's institutions has largely succeeded. They control government, corporations, healthcare, sciences, media, arts and entertainment, education, nonprofits, sports, right down to the Boy and Girl Scouts. And they seek to consolidate their control in a handful of larger institutions, mainly governments and corporations. An American reset is a precursor to a global reset per the lunatic vision of Klaus Schwab and his acolytes. As an aside, pray tell, what is it with Germany that it periodically spawns apocalyptic and or messianic figures like Marx, Nietzsche, Hitler, and now this dangerous utopian Klaus Schwab? Okay, that's a fair question. But he says, if you're feeling surrounded, don't. Because there are many more of us than them. The unbelievable major serial failures of the Biden administration, who bats zero, for instance, are waking up to a broader slice of the public. Or waking up a broader slice of the public, rather. Waking them up through mounting costs of inflation and energy, uncertainties like crime and the border, and of course flagrant attempts in schools to sexually debauch our kids. Biden's handlers, of course, support this effort, among other wanton offenses. So the progressive worldview, as translated through governance and cultural dictates, is collapsing. Progressivism is daily revealing itself as, yes, power-hungry, incompetent, ineffective, but also dark. The end of the empire isn't likely to finish with a whimper. He says it'll be calamitous, confrontational, and just plain nasty. The elites won't go gentle into that good night. They've far too much riding on the outcomes. As Victor Davis Hanson stated in his article, when revolutionaries undermine the system, earn the antipathy of the people, and face looming disaster at the polls, it is then that they prove the most dangerous, as we shall see, over the next few months. So pain tends to be humanity's best teacher, unfortunately. And most of us Americans are in the process of getting increasing doses of pain. The upside of this will lead to righteous anger, a strong resolve, and banding together. Now that process is underway. And it's said that it takes a lot to get Americans riled up and their fighting spirit going, but when that occurs, watch out. Anybody recall what happened to Imperial Japan and Nazi Germany? Many of these elites, regardless of the institution, are corrupt as hell. Money and power are their gods, and the wager is that today's elites are the most corrupt in the country's history. The Gilded Age pales in comparison. Faith in God shared traditional values, and civil society imbued with respect for liberty and the rights once served in part as, or once served rather in part as checks on the ambitions of grasping men. Smaller national government, hamstrung with checks and balances, a strict federal system, and a society chock full of diffuse power centers, further blunted men with oversized appetites for power. But of course, you know, most elites no longer share a belief in God with most Americans. Traditional values have had torches put to them. Civil society is at best a veneer under which royals cultural conflicts. At the end of the 20th century and moving forward, progressives found ways, both constitutionally and not, to concentrate power in the national government, expanding its role in the states and society. Liberal jurists threw away strict construction of law in favor of lavish interpretations that, unsurprisingly, advanced leftward agendas. In current times, many, including too many establishment Republicans, even some conservatives, have sold out their nation to Xi Jinping and his predecessors. Joe Biden and his family's influence-peddling schemes are just the tip of the iceberg. The nation's ongoing supply chain troubles merely expose our reliance on and vulnerability to communist China. And we're vulnerable because cheaply made goods make a lot of money for elites and corporations and among their conspirators in Washington. But most elites aren't content, having denuded America of manufacturing for profit and leaving the homeland vulnerable to the aims and caprice of a Chinese communist dictator. Many, especially their leftist cohorts, have compulsions to dominate the lives of their fellow citizens, to impose through force their beliefs and values, to control actions and language, and if possible, to control thought. After all, isn't thought control why elites have been subverting educational institutions from preschools through graduate schools? What else is cancel culture but the threat of or actual use of force to extract compliance or inflict punishment? Authoritarianism and totalitarianism are honey that attracts broken, angry, manipulative, controlling personalities. It's a pretty good assessment. J. Robert Smith concludes, he says the elections are going to be, you know, a reckoning for these people, which is probably why you're going to see a lot of efforts to undermine those elections. But in the meantime, he says, let's join with fellow patriots. Let's organize with others locally as bulwarks against the coming attacks. Expect protracted, intensifying troubles and conflicts. But let's make bold pronouncements for liberty and the founders' vision of America. Let's clamor and fight for the restoration of our republic. Let's pray and make proclamations for a renaissance of faith and freedom on these shores that will astonish a watching world. That seems like a reasonable approach to me.
This is the Brian Hyde Show.